You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
The history of betrayal continues to today. The spirit of a mighty voice, the ghost of anime. Call like thunder from the mountains. You can hear them say it's a stolen land.
Folks, you are listening to the sweet sounds of Lila Bialy, and I would like you to kind of hang out a little more.
Apartheid in Arizona, slaughter in Brazil. If bullets don't get good PR, there's other ways to kill. Kidnap all the children, put them in a foreign system. Bring them up in no man's land where no one really wants them. It's a stolen land. Stolen land. Stolen land is all we've got. Stolen land, there's no going back. Stolen land, never forget. Stolen land, living not through yet.
Well, Lila joined us last year in our show. She was one of our judges on our goofy little contest, So You Think God Wants You to Sing.
It wasn't goofy. We got a really good talented young lady out of it.
We actually found quite a lot of talent. I was surprised. I thought we were going to get a lot more people that I could make fun of, but
Just looking at yourself when you're thinking about that.
What's wrong with you?
You always pick on me. I thought maybe I'd just take this one brief moment.
I'm a kind soul. Leave me alone. Lila Bialy has become a lovely acquaintance. She's the kind of person that I think connects with everybody and anybody, and she is open and passionate and involved and, my goodness, one of those gems out there in the world today, which is probably why Sting said to her, hey, you want to join me? You want a tour? You want to hang out with Sting?
That'd be cool.
Sting probably didn't talk like that.
Talks about himself, yeah.
But I got an email the other day. I said, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? She sent me this email back and it had some details in it, some stuff. And I thought, oh, my goodness. So I phoned her and we talked. And I thought, that's a perfect story for Valentine's Day. Would you like to share it? Folks, joining us right now, Lila Bialy. How are you, Lila?
Drew Marshall, I'm great. How are you?
You are down in New York. Are you having big snowstorms down there?
We are. Yeah, not nearly as bad as D.C. got hit, but Brooklyn is white and messy.
Yeah, sorry about your luck, being the Canadian girl. Listen, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure?
Oh, gosh, do I have a choice now,
no,
Drew? Truly?
No, not at all. Not at all. What
no,
a story.
I'm in. Yeah.
As you and I said on the phone early this week, let me level the playing ground first.
Uh-huh.
Before you spill your guts, let me tell you my quick story.
Sounds great.
I got my girlfriend pregnant.
Yes, this is what you told me.
And we ended up marrying because it was the right thing to do, and it's been up and down road and a tough marriage. But, boy, we have beautiful kids, and we stuck with it, and I don't know. It looks like we're going to make it. Looks like we've made it.
21 years?
21
already?
Years, yeah, yeah.
That's something to celebrate.
13 of the best years of my life.
Love it.
And this is akin to your story, Lila.
Yeah, at the beginning of the story, but...
Here in our studio for the very first time, I asked you a kind of awkward question. I said, what's going on with love? Are you in love? What's...
Mm-hmm.
And you had something percolating there in the background.
I sure did, yeah. And I think I was quite coy with you. I can't even remember what my answer was at the time, but I wasn't going to... I was holding my cards close, to say the least. And it's because, I mean, your question couldn't have been... I don't know whether to say more timely or more untimely. Because, you know, there I was sitting in your studio pregnant with my boyfriend, now husband's child. And how do you crack that nut? Like, how do you open that up with you and also with the audience? I mean, there was no way that I could go there because I was still just... really in the midst of processing heavily myself. We had basically conceived in September, and I didn't find out until October. And And November ended up being a really reflective month. I was on the road with Sting and recording with him pretty intensely for most of September, and then you know, came back to Brooklyn for a little bit in October, went to Toronto for some dates there. You know, found out my news actually while I was in Toronto, which is kind of a funny story that maybe we'll get into later. But
no, I would like to hear it right now.
Oh, you do?
Right now.
You know, I've held on to the stick, Drew. That is how sentimental, or some might say semi-mental, I am. I have this little pregnancy test, and I'm looking at it right here on my desk.
Ooh.
You got something you peed on your desk.
TMI, right? Too much information. I think most folks know how things go, but anyway, I was late. And I had actually met with a therapist that morning, and I was telling her, you know, I'm kind of concerned because I am a few days late, and, you know, I mentioned to her that there was this incident that had happened at the end of September, and she said, you know, you might want to get yourself checked out. So off I went, and it was crazy because, you know, I had an early morning interview with Jazz FM where I told all the details of what had been going on with Sting, and I had a concert that night at the Old Mill, and I was preparing all this new material and, you know, had this full day ahead of me. And so I decide, you know, I'm going to pick up my lunch at my favorite restaurant in Toronto, Fresh, but before I do that, let me stop at the drugstore and pick up a little test. And I actually took the test while I was waiting for my lunch to be prepared, which is like, you know, I mean, it's like a practical busy girl's way of taking care of things.
You are such a multitasker.
Oh, my gosh, classic woman. So anyway, I did that, and of course I did not expect really, truly, the results to be what they were, and there's a good reason for that. I mean, surely... You know, I know how we conceived this was not, this has nothing to do with a stork, but some precautions were taken, so it was a big, big surprise, and yeah, when that little faded pink line showed up, the second one, I looked at the package and I was like, no, surely not. And I see the first example and it's two really strong pink lines and I think, okay, whew, I'm in the clear. And then I see, you know, a second example of one strong pink line, one faded pink line, and they're like, congratulations, this also means you're expecting. And so I, you know, just about lost it. I was trying to maintain my composure, grab my lunch, had enough composure to still grab my lunch. And dashed out onto Bloor Street and, you know, went right into the next pharmacy that I found and ran up to the woman at the desk and said, what is this? And she was like, is it good news or bad news? And I just broke into tears and I said, I don't know. And she was like, do you have a boyfriend? And I was like, I don't know. Because Ben and I had actually broken up the day after we had slipped, and actually one of the main reasons for us breaking up was that we had struggled in the course of the 2.5 years that we'd been dating with sexual boundaries, and sometimes for months we were completely clean, so to speak, and then we would just have the odd slip, and it just was, you know, the last straw. And after this last time had happened, we just said we're not mature enough to handle this boundary, so we need to part ways. And so we actually broke up like the next day. And so I was technically single when I found out that I was carrying his child.
Wow.
Yeah. So this poor unsuspecting pharmacist just got an absolute earful.
Oh no.
You know, but she was actually fantastic, and I think that, you know, the Lord even worked through her because she had some words of wisdom and comfort when we got down to the nitty-gritty. And that was the beginning of a life completely changed.
All right. Now, To go, I mean, listen, I love hearing you talk. You paint, I told you this before, you paint a beautiful picture. When you're just, you're so creative in everything you do, including communication.
Sure.
When you find out you're pregnant, and you've just broken up with your boyfriend because you and your boyfriend decided that, man, you know, we have not been real good with the sexual boundaries here.
Yeah.
So now you're single and pregnant. How do you go about telling him?
Well, we're in the 21st century here. Text message, of course, Drew.
Oh, you did not.
No, well, no. That's half the story.
Hold on. Was it a picture, Ted? Did you take a picture of the
right,
the stick and
right.
send it to him?
Well, you know what is hysterical? Okay, so this is a starving artist story. I had this plan at the time because I'm dividing my time between New York and Toronto, and so, you know, for my phone plan in Toronto, I just had a pay and talk plan, and so actually, but I had like unlimited incoming calls, and I had already used up all my minutes, so I just text Ben, call me. And I think he suspected what news I had because I had said to him in a couple of email exchanges that we'd had prior that I was feeling a bit concerned, you know, that maybe something maybe would have happened. So he called me right away, and he broke into tears, joyful tears, which was quite a surprise. He had wanted to get married for some months. And I had been holding back because of confusion over whether or not it was truly the right decision, the magnitude of the decision, as well as, you know, conflicting opinions amongst friends and family. So, so he was clear on what he wanted to do and what the next step was for him. But I had to take a few weeks after that to process and pray to find really what I felt was not only the best way forward in my view, but the obedient way forward, which, you know, gosh, what is that at this point?
Yeah. Well, and right? I mean, did you marry Ben because he was the father of your baby?
Absolutely not. I'd be lying if I said that the new circumstances did not hugely factor into the decision. Of course they did. But what was being pregnant the very reason that I decided to marry Ben? Absolutely not. Because, you know, enough people, I spoke and counseled with that's not true, not so many people. I chose select few to share with. And you know, the general thing that I kept hearing was, you know, that they would be supportive no matter what decision I made. But they wanted to caution me that there was no quick fix for this situation, and marrying him didn't necessarily mean that, you know, this child would be provided with the best family circumstances possible. And that's where I needed to take a lot of time to pray and consider and reflect, you know, before I felt, I know this is a slightly cliche way of putting it, but felt a peace about moving forward.
Right.
And poor Ben, I mean, he was so patient because he, like I said, he was clear on what he wanted to do. He flew to Toronto like 2 days after I spoke with him. He was on the road with Paula Cole and you know, flew straight to Canada after his last gig for that weekend and spent time with me. And I was alternately really warm and standoffish because there was so much to process. And I actually, you know, I felt embarrassed, I felt ashamed, I felt foolish, and I felt angry with myself and even with Ben a little bit. And you know, it's so bizarre. Here I was pregnant by a man that I loved. I mean, there's no question that I loved Ben. But, you know, November was really a month of grieving, and one of my dear friends that I was connecting with about this, you know, we had agreed that really what I was grieving was a loss of choice, that I no longer really could choose who I wanted to, well, I mean, I could choose who I wanted to marry, but I certainly, given where I stand on, you know, keeping the child or not keeping the child, where I stood on that issue it was a foregone conclusion that if this child remained healthy to term, I would have it.
Sure.
So that there was no choice there anymore.
When I think about the various layers of this story, first of all, let me just say to our listening audience, I begged Lila to come on and tell her story. Because, I did, because I know that there are many, many, many couples out there in the exact same or very similar to situation.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And yet in the Christian community, we're not supposed to have sex before marriage.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're pregnant. Okay, well, then you should get married right away. That's also the next default. But
right,
the complicating factors here are, here you were, you and Ben, having this on-again, off-again relationship over 2-3 years, whatever. You definitely love the guy. I mean, how many of us have gone through those sorts of relationships where it's on-again, it's off-again, the love remains. You're trying to decide whether you're going to go forward with this person or not. Mm-hmm. But here's factor to throw into this equation. Where's he at spiritually? You're supposed to be this mature follower of Christ Jesus chick, a Christian, and you're fooling around with your boyfriend, and you're fooling around with your boyfriend sexually, and he's not even a full-on Jesus guy. So now you got all these outsiders listening in, especially on this Christian radio station, and they're going, well, I'm never going to get one of her CDs.
Oh, gosh! Right.
Because she had sex before marriage, and she ended up marrying a guy who hasn't signed on the dotted line, yes, I want to follow Jesus Christ.
Drew, I can't say that it isn't complicated, but what I had to do, and this in and of itself could sound like heresy for some, but I actually came to a place where I had to just completely zero in on the Lord's voice to the best of my ability. And I did seek the counsel of Christian leaders in the church, people who have, been in my community for a long time. And absolutely, whatever input they had was taken very seriously. But at the end of the day, and this is something that, this whole situation aside, I have to practice daily as a musician and performer and person who's in the public eye. It's that audience of one mentality where I'm just never going to please everybody. I am the classic line, but it's true. I am a sinner, and I make mistakes every day. And I think that as humans, we stratify those mistakes where we deem certain sins as far worse than others, and sexual sin is sort of like way up there. And, we read things in the scriptures like, lusting after somebody in your heart is as bad as committing adultery. Do we actually believe that? I'm not sure we do. I think we do think committing adultery is a lot worse. And so I have to try, my darndest just to filter out the voices and just seek the Lord in everything. And to seek to please him first and foremost, and really, if I'm really getting it right, him alone, and that will leave me more immune to all the opinions of others of my life. But that isn't to say that I don't value accountability within the community. I think that accountability is a really important value and thing for us to live by. And so, as much as my focus is primarily the Lord, I can't just, live on my own and ignore how my decisions might be impacting others. And actually, that's one of the reasons I chose to share my story, is because, while the Lord has poured his grace into my circumstances with Ben and with this, you know, child on the way.
Do you have a name yet, by the way? Do you have a name?
Well, Drew, of course.
Thank you.
Drew.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We're laboring over the name. Oh. But anyway, well, I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
So we're going to have a draw. even though our circumstances have been infused by and completely transformed by God's grace, what am I trying to say here? I just lost my train of thought. You know what they call that, Drew?
No.
Pregnancy brain.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes.
Wow.
The neural synapses are just not firing off quite as efficiently anyway.
I've had that for a lot of years. I'm a little worried now.
I always thought it was called a brain fart.
Right. What do men say when that happens?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Let me ask you very directly here.
Yeah.
Deciding to keep the child is a moot point because of your views on when life begins.
Mm-hmm.
So you believe that life begins at conception, and so you're gonna keep the child no matter what. So that's a moot point.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing to consider is, do you marry this guy or not? You've had this on again, off again, break up, back together. You love him, but you're just not sure whether he's the man to stay in the picture for the rest of your life. And and one of the factors is, what's going on with him spiritually?
Mm.
But the way you described Ben to me, he actually sounds like he's on more of a spiritual pursuit than a lot of Jesus people I know.
You know, it's funny. That's the very thing that I've said of him since I met him. And that has resonated with, certain very wise people within the community, the Christian community around me. And it's absolutely true. He is a seeker. I think we're all seekers. I do absolutely believe in Christ as God, Son of God, God. I do think of him as he is my Savior. This world is so complex. And Ben, who, loves coming to church with me, loves to pray together, loves even reading the scriptures with me, and the thing that I love about our relationship and about his journey is that he calls me out on pat answers and answers that I have been conditioned to sort of recite because, this is what's been pounded into my head by the church growing up. And some things without careful consideration. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And so he asks these nuanced and tough questions, and it used to threaten my faith. I would really get all wound up in knots if we got into an argument about, evolution or original sin or, these sort of hot-button topics. But now I revel in the discussion, the ongoing discussion, and he really, I don't feel that it's inaccurate to say that this man has an incredibly pure heart. And I see, and this is where it can get into, dicey territory or precarious territory, but I see so much of Christ in him. And Christ has brought great healing into my life through him. And that is not to say that our road together is easy. There are ways in which we make decisions that are markedly different. Now, two Christians will find that in their relationship, right? So it's not just about, Christian, non-Christian. But, there are ways in which I might turn to Christ or be looking to the scriptures for healing and answers where he might take what he would consider a more logical, reasonable approach to addressing these things. And then I might get upset with him because he's not being spiritual enough or just, these sort of silly little things that come up. But again, my understanding is that, points of tension like that exist in relationships between believers.
Sure.
And I hate I just kind of hate some of the terminology we use, like believer and unbeliever, as if to suggest that those who haven't found Christ in the same way just yet are without belief. I'll say again that I just think we're all seekers.
Yeah. Well, another interesting component in the, and by the way, if you've just tuned in, folks, we are chatting with Lila Bialy, Toronto's jazz sensation. There's another term, Toronto's jazz sensation, just kind of puts you in a pocket that I think is a little too tight for you.
I'm trying to get out, Drew. I'm trying to get out.
I know.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Lila's life has been on quite the whirlwind tour over the last few months. Speaking of tour, she was touring with Sting and then found herself in love with two men. Didn't realize that was really going on. She found out she was pregnant. And before the tabloids get a hold of this, we just want to say categorically, Sting is not the father, people.
Yes, it's very important to know.
Although he what was his reaction? Because, you know, you were working with him at the time.
Oh, yeah. No, I decided to wait until the safe 3 month mark to share the news with him. So I told him in December, and he was delighted. And he actually, there was the possibility of Ben working with him on a tour coming up this spring and summer. And when Ben went to his residence in New York, and he walked in the door, and Sting just said, "How's Mama?" You know, and asking after me, and had actually said to another colleague that you know, we were like family, which is an incredibly beautiful thing to say. So he totally celebrated that there was a baby on the way. He was so sensitive. He'd always ask me how I was feeling. He even walked up to me at one rehearsal and kind of gently and playfully shook my belly, like sort of just excited that there's something in there, you know. It was very, very sweet. He was very sweet in his response. And he, you know, there was one time where he joked. Somebody was saying, "Well, who's Ben?" And Sting goes, "He's the father of my baby." You know? But he was just totally joking around. You know, this is a guy who is so devoted to his family. And, in fact, I think that's why he was so excited for me. He had shared once over dinner in Italy that, you know, the best thing that he felt he had done was raise his kids, raise his beautiful kids. And, you know, he wasn't being interviewed for some political position or anything. Like, he just was saying this over dinner so sincerely. He's a family man. He's absolutely a family man.
But what I find perplexing, and this is going to, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to verbalize this correctly.
Okay.
Is that here we have someone who, as far as I know, is not a raving evangelical lunatic, Sting.
Right.
I'm not sure where he stands on Jesus, and that's not my point. But my point is, we have a guy like Sting who celebrates this new life with you, and yet you have friends in the Christian community who are finding that difficult to celebrate with you. Lila, they, you know, Sting can celebrate this beautiful life coming along and the love that you and Ben have for each other. And yet the Christian community comes with a certain set of presuppositions that limit us from being able to celebrate with you. And what is wrong with that picture?
Well, you know, just to sympathize or even empathize, because I've been on that end of things myself. You know, it's that whole remove the plank from your own eye before you remove the splinter from your brother's. Drew, I have a sizable plank in my eye.
Do you?
But I do, and so I have to be, you know, it's interesting. When I considered a few responses that may not have been quite to my liking or felt judgmental, I actually realized that I, in my own subtle way, was judging them, too. And you know, it is complex, and I think it's like, you know, one of my closest girlfriends, when I told her the night that I found out, and she burst into tears. And it didn't grieve, or it didn't offend me. I saw that her response was appropriate. She was grieving the manner in which this had happened. It wasn't a heavy. And that very night she sent me this beautiful, eloquent email, you know, completely offering her support. But I think just that response right there paints a picture of the conflict I think people feel within themselves, even, you know, or, you know, over situations like my own. And it's understandable because, you know, and Ben and I kind of had to be careful how we chose our own language as we described what had happened because, you know, when this child was conceived, I can't say that I feel like, oh, it was this beautiful act of worship, you know. Mm. It felt heavy.
You were struggling with physical boundaries with each other, uh-huh. How far you should go, maybe we should back out, maybe we should, and you're trying to yep. be honoring and trying to be mature about stuff, and
yeah.
and Ben has his own, you know, stuff there, and you've got your, and all yeah. of a sudden, this is a miracle. I'm trying to get to the point. This is a miracle. Why can't yeah. we not yeah. celebrate this? Why is there such right. a molasses feeling on this?
Well, and that's just, and I guess I wasn't articulating myself clearly, but it's just to say that I think people feel, I think it's a combination of things. I think, you know, those people in my life who I know loved me but were grieved, I think it was just, you know, a sense of conflict over the way that things had happened. And I'd say, Drew, 90% of the people in my life broke through to celebration really quickly. And those who didn't still chose to say that they loved me, but that, you know, they felt that it was really sad what had happened and, you know, and perhaps thought that I should maybe put the child up for adoption or choose other alternatives to marrying Ben once I had decided that that was the way to move forward. And then on the other hand, I do think that there's another brand of Christian out there who just will arbitrarily say, this is sinful, that child is the devil's spawn, and, you know, what has been conceived in sin cannot be redeemed, and that's just not Christ's story. Like, that's just not the story of grace or the story of Jesus. That's not the gospel.
No.
Right?
No, not at all. Not at all.
So,
Lila, why are you so open about this? I mean, I sent you an email. It's a bit of a cheeky question, but I sent you an email just sort of saying, hey, what's up? You know, fill me in. What's going on? And you sent an email back saying, well, I'm pregnant and married. So, whoa, what happened? Like, it wasn't that long ago that you were in the studio. So I phoned you, and the first thing out of my mouth was, before I even said hello to you, was,
yeah.
You got knocked up?
Yeah.
That's how sensitive I am in these things.
Right.
And we chatted about this, and you were very open. And that's why I thought, you know, I was sitting there. I didn't really have to beg you to come on the show. I did ask probably 6 or 7 times, but I was sitting there on a Friday thinking, okay, we've got this gap in our show. And all of a sudden, you're unfolding this story. You're very open, very transparent, very authentic about this. And most people who are Christians who find themselves pregnant before marriage, let alone it gets out of the hat that they had sex before marriage,
right,
they
yeah.
don't want to talk about it.
Right.
This is all in the QT. This is hush.
Right. Yeah.
Why are you on my show sharing this?
Well, you know, I think it's, if I might say so myself, I think it's a story that people do need to hear. You know, my love for the Lord remains. You know, it's that has never changed in spite of poor choices that I maybe have made along the way and just being utterly and completely human. And actually, frankly, Drew, I see it as an opportunity to kind of, I don't know if this is exactly the way to put it, but bring further redemption to my own story and honor the Lord and what He's done, because this is not just a story about a broken woman's poor choice at a time in her life. It's about, you know, the Lord's grace and that He works all things together for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His plans and purposes. I mean, I really believe that with all my heart, and I have seen it in what in my 29 years has been probably the most challenging thing I've had to face thus far. So it's a testimony to the, you know, profundity of God's grace and love and faithfulness to us and to me as His daughter. Like, I cannot tell you how many times, because of the guilt and the, you know, hot coals that the church can heap on a person who does this sort of thing, or, you know, that judgmental people might do, I just stood before the Lord just blown away that He could still love me. And I, not for a second, not even a nanosecond, did I question that the Lord's love had changed. Nothing could separate me from his love. And I finally had circumstances that were proof positive of that reality. So,
you are the perfect example of the perfect guest on the Drew Marshall Show. When I wanted, no, seriously, 7 years ago or whatever it was, when I decided we were going to do this sort of show, I wanted to be able to talk about messy stuff. I wanted to talk about God in the middle of our mess. And for I don't know if I want to call this. I mean, it's messy, but I don't think it's a mess. Do you see the difference?
Mm-hmm.
It's not
yeah.
a mess.
Yeah.
It's messy from our perspective, but God knew what was going on here.
Yeah.
And your willingness to be authentic and open and vulnerable about all this is absolutely perfect and beautiful. I had a couple a few years ago, Lila, and they brought their little baby in, and they were youth group leaders in a church, and they found themselves... I always find it funny when we say found themselves pregnant.
As if it happened in spite of themselves.
Yes, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're just diluting it a little bit.
Just a little bit. They found themselves with child prior to the marriage ceremony.
Right.
And I wanted to know how their church handled this because they were youth leaders. And their church loved on them and surrounded them and blessed them and walked with them and encouraged them. And that
beautiful.
Is a cool deal.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm sick of hearing the other stuff. I really am.
Oh, yeah. And I just want to reiterate, Drew, just to be fair to my community, like people gathered round. They did. Not every single person, but like I said, you know, 90%, I mean, gathered round, you know, leaders within the church, both in Toronto and in New York, my friends, my mentors, they just gathered round. And some even just immediately celebrated that I was pregnant, and it would shock me because I wasn't celebrating. You know, I was like, wait a second, I'm in shock here. You know, and they were going, what a beautiful thing, what a gift, you know.
I remember I was on staff at Teen Ranch, and so was my wife. We were both in ministry. Sorry, it was my girlfriend. And I had to sit down with the board of directors and tell them that I got my girlfriend pregnant.
Right.
And the grandfather, Grandpa Stevens, was a cool old fella. He'd be in his 80s at that point in time, and he was sitting at the table, and there was a silence after I'd done my sobbing and confessing and all this kind of stuff. And the director, his son, said, well, does anybody have anything like to say? And there was a long, awkward silence. And then Grandpa Stevens says, does anyone know the score of the Jays game today? And we were trying to figure out whether it was senility or what the go was. So his son said to him, his son said to him, seriously, why did you say that? And Grandpa Stevens' reaction was, well, he knows he got busted here and he's owned up. Let's move on. Let's celebrate this. Let's move on.
Wow. Interesting. And how did that leave you feeling?
Oh, listen, it was like the pressure cooker was released. It was it was fantastic.
Wow.
We all had a little chuckle around the table, and then you just move on. So, anyway.
Wow.
Listen, I cannot wait to meet Ben. I really can't wait to meet little Drew.
Right.
And I want people to support you, to pray for you, to buy your music, to go to your gigs. Speaking of gigs, do you not have quite a fancy one coming up here in Toronto fairly soon?
Yeah, I've got three coming up over the next 3 months in Toronto, or the Toronto area, GTA and Hamilton area.
Yes.
I've got a gig coming up on the 26th of February at the Glenn Gould Theater, which is down in the CBC building downtown on Front Street. That's on the 26th of February. And then I have a gig coming up on March 9th in Hamilton. That's also, I believe, a fundraiser. And then another one coming up also in Hamilton on April 9th.
Lila Bialy can be tough to spell, so let me do that for you folks. LAILABIALI. What were your parents thinking when this name was produced?
I have no idea, because I have three elder sisters, and their names are Susan, Tanya, and Vanessa.
Simple.
Could it get any easier?
Simple.
So I have no idea what they were thinking. Maybe my dad was playing with palindromes that day and thought, well, we'll choose something that's slightly palindromatic.
Oh, that is too funny. Well, if you have a problem remembering the website or spelling it, just go to our website, drewmarshall.ca, and look on today's show, and you can click on the link to her website. Find out about her gigs. Get a hold of her music. Lila, thank you. I want you to hold. When we say goodbye, just stay on hold for a second. I want to just say good day to you before we say goodbye, okay?
That sounds good.
Thank you. You are a beautiful person inside and out, and I so much appreciate your authenticity.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing, Drew.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Folks, we are going to take a short break, and when we come back, oh my goodness, this is where I get myself into a wee bit more trouble, Tim.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to do a little fun game here on the Drew Marshall Show for our Valentine's Day special. It's called Who's Loving Who? Should it be Whom's Loving Whom?
That sounds a little too street for me.
We're going to have a little fun. I'm going to read you the lyrics of a song, and I want you to participate. Call in. Well, you know, we got prizes, real prizes to give away here. Call in, and you can have fun with us in this game. We're going to read you the lyrics of a song, and you have to tell us whether it's a sappy love song or a sappy worship song. Because I tell you, I was watching an episode of South Park the other day about Christian rock, and they had it so spot on. He knew he was going to make $1 million. All he had to do was take out the name Baby and put in the name Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Remember when Amy Grant got in trouble for doing that kind of stuff?
Yes. Man.
So we're going to have some fun in a few minutes. Stay with us, folks.
All right.
From our mistakes, enough to know we can't play God with others' lives at stake. All discovered, the world wasn't only made for whites. What step are you gonna take to try and set things right in the